Of all the images that have sprung from the pages of fairy tales over the centuries, maybe the most familiar is that of a beautiful princess confined high up in a tower. In a new children's book by Margaret Shannon, that princess is named Rose Lupin, and she passes the time by knitting and plotting her escape. The book is called The Red Wolf, and our ambassador to the world of kitty literature, Daniel Pinkwater, joins us from the friendly confines of his home in upstate New York to share this tale with us. Daniel, thank you for joining us.
Scott, I'm so happy to be here, and I bring you an especially nice example of a traditional children's book in the old Middle European fairy tale tradition, and who is more Middle European than an Australian, which the author illustrator happens to be.
Well, they appreciate this Middle Europe stuff as an art form.
In fact, I will read to you from the back flap. Yeah. The setting for The Red Wolf is loosely based on the beautiful fortress town of blah, blah, blah in the Czech Republic.
That's Laketnaj Ori.
You can read that, huh?
Yes.
It's in that town in the Czech Republic. After discovering the town in her travels, Margaret Shannon returned to live there for 7 months and began developing the illustrations for this book, which is my cue to you that this is a serious children's book of the old school, and it's a good one.
Okay.
Scott, let's read it. I was going to mention, not all the listeners may know that in your days as Uncle Scott on a children's radio program, now defunct,
yes.
You were known as the man of a thousand voices.
Yes, absolutely. And you always told me that you would prefer I only have about 500 voices.
Well, that was because it was my radio program.
Yeah, okay, yes.
This one's yours. So should you wish to, feel free.
All right.
And I'll start out as the narrator, but we'll trade off.
Okay.
There was once a little princess called Rose Lupin, who was kept locked up at the top of a tall stony tower. "The world is a wild and dangerous place, Rose Lupin," her father, the king, would tell her. "Far too wild for my precious princess."
But every evening, as soon as the servants had dressed her for bed and locked the door behind them, Rose Lupin would climb up to her window and look longingly over the wild and dangerous world until it was too dark to see it anymore.
So the days went by, all the same, until the morning of Rose Lupin's 7th birthday. On that morning, a large golden box was found outside the castle gate with the words,
"For Rose Lupin,"
spelled out in jewels on the lid. And everyone gathered around, all agog, to see what was inside. But when Rose Lupin opened the box, they saw that it was filled with balls of wool, just different colored balls of wool, with a note on top. The note said,
"Knit what you want."
The king roared with laughter. "Some present. Tell you what, Rose Lupin, you can knit me a nice scarf."
That night, Rose Lupin looked good and hard at the golden box with her name on it. Then she went over to the box, took out all the balls of red wool she could find, and began to knit. She knitted and knitted the whole night through, and when she had finished, Rose Lupin put on her new red wolf suit and said,
"Now, we haven't been mentioning the art, which is splendid, but here I have to just break out for a moment to say this one is an homage to Maurice Sendak. And what she said was,
"If the world's too wild for the likes of me, then a big red wolf I'd rather be."
No sooner were the words out of Rose Lupin's new red wolfy mouth than she began to grow.
And grow.
And grow.
Until she burst right through the roof of the tall stony tower, and with one giant leap was out in the forest.
A magnificent double spread. She's bursting. The tower is flying to flinders. She's out over the forest. The sun is coming up. And she is a mighty big red wolf indeed.
Mm. When the villagers looked out their windows and saw the huge grinning wolf and the ruined stony tower, they ran to tell the king.
"My dear princess eaten by a giant red wolf,"
sobbed the king.
"We'd better fill it up with food before it eats the lot of us."
So the villagers gathered up all the food in the castle and laid it down at the edge of the forest. All day long, Rose Lupin ate and danced her wolfy dance and howled her wolfy howl.
And here we have homage to Matisse. She dreams these dancing wolves in a dancing in a ring that will be familiar to many. And at night she went to sleep peacefully under the stars to dream of all the other big red wolves she had yet to meet and all the wolfy fun they'd have.
When she woke, she set off through the forest to look for them. The strange thing was, the farther she walked, the taller the trees seemed to be.
And we see, and she doesn't, that her wolf costume, her knitted wolf costume, is caught on a tree and beginning to unravel. And the more she turned this way and that to find her way out, the more the forest grew.
And grew. And grew around her.
Until it had swallowed her whole.
When the villagers looked out their window and saw that the wolf was gone, they ran to tell the king.
"Ha! We must have stuffed that wolf so full of food it popped,"
the king cheered hopefully.
"I'll wear its teeth for a necklace. Go have a look for them."
The villagers looked everywhere, but they found no sign of the wolf. All they found was some red wool that wound and wound its way through the trees, deep into the forest.
To a small cave where Princess Rosalupin lay fast asleep.
They carried her back to the castle, cheering and singing, and told the king how the clever Princess Rosalupin had escaped from the giant red wolf and laid a trail for them to follow.
"My little princess, still alive!"
the king cried, clasping her tight. And he ordered that a new tower be built at once, a tower even taller and stonier than the last, a tower no wolf could break through. There he locked her up, good and tight, with a rich new gown to wear and the golden box of wool to keep her busy.
"Perhaps you could knit that nice scarf for me now, Rosalupin,"
said the king.
That night, Rosalupin looked good and hard at the golden box with her name on it. Then she went over to the box, took out all the balls of brown wool she could find, and began to knit. And in the morning, when the king came to see her, she said,
"Please, father dear, be meek and mild, and try these on for your only child."
Holding up not a nice scarf,
but a rather mousy-looking pair of pajamas.
The king has tried them on, and he is now a little mouse looking out the window down at the town square.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about a surprise ending.
So I treasure a book in which is pointed out that though grown-ups are in charge, they're dumb.
Yeah, that's right. In the end, you don't fool around with the little ones, do you?
Not when they're princesses in a fairy tale.
Yeah. Okay, Daniel, wonderful being back with you.
Always a pleasure, Scott.
The book is called The Red Wolf. It's written and illustrated by Margaret Shannon and published by Houghton Mifflin. Daniel Pinkwater is the author of many fine books for adults and children and a number of absolutely marvelous ones, including the Polar Bear Larry books, all published by Marshall Cavendish.
I'll never forget the day I read a book. It was contagious, 70 pages. There were pictures here and there, so it wasn't hard to bear the day I read a book.
To see pictures from The Red Wolf and a list of other books Daniel has discussed, visit our website at npr.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.